Welcome to the National Awakening Conference call. My name is Marlon Sharp. I'm the National Field Director for STAM, and here is your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Thank you, Pastor Marlon. Thanks, everybody, for joining us as always. And let's open up with a word of prayer as usual. Heavenly Father, first, we are so grateful to live in freedom, so grateful for liberty, so grateful for the ability to chart the course of our own lives, presumably under your leadership, we trust, but to be able to do what you've called us to do without the heavy hand of government threatening us with arrest and incarceration or torture or death, which is the lot of many people around the world. And even though in Europe, for example, they claim to provide freedom for their people, they're busy arresting people and incarcerating people for misgendering and for preaching the word of God and what it says about homosexuality. For anybody who speaks against Islam, you can be arrested in some European countries and or fined or imprisoned. And so, Lord, we know freedom is not universal by any stretch of the imagination. And the United States of America stands alone and unique with a First Amendment that guarantees our freedom of speech, freedom of worship, and therefore freedom of conscience. And we want desperately to preserve it. But there are forces at work that don't want it, hate it, and hate those of us who would seek to exercise our liberty. And they somehow have mistaken the mistaken idea that freedom of speech means freedom of speech for them, but not for those who disagree with them. And so, Lord, help us to preserve this wonderful gift that you've given us, not only for us, but even for those people who don't agree with us. And we pray for President Trump, who is trying to restore those fundamental values to our country, for his team, and, Lord, for all of those who serve in political office, we pray that if they are not awakened rather than being woke, that you would awaken them to the truth, to righteousness, to the Judeo-Christian values upon which this country was founded. And so we thank you and praise you for these leaders who are on the call and for their work and their various fields of action. We thank you for our guest speaker today. Use her in a mighty way, we pray, to edify and encourage and inspire. And Lord God, we commit the Stand Awards dinner that's coming up on May the 16th into your hands. We pray that our honorees will indeed feel honored, that all those who attend will be inspired and uplifted, and that Stan will benefit from this dinner in a multitude of ways, including not only spreading the word and the work that we're doing, but raising the funds to keep doing it. So we thank you, we praise you, we commit this call into your loving care in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, folks, this is a very special day for me because, first of all, I have to tell you all that we got a call last night, late yesterday afternoon, from Tina Deskovich saying that President Donald Trump had called her to a conference call between 12 and 1, and therefore she would not be able to be with us because she's with the president. Now, needless to say, I told her and told the president that, you know, you need to find another time to meet with her because our call is important. Well, needless to say, I'm joking. I didn't say that to her or to the president. Because first of all, I can't get to the president to say anything like that, and I wouldn't even if I had the opportunity. Obviously, when the president of the United States of America calls on you, everything else, short of some kind of family emergency, everything else has to take second row. So she's on a conference call with the president, that's our understanding right now, or will be shortly, assuming he's not running late. But I really believe this is a blessing in disguise because standing in for Tina, we were trying to figure out, well, who can we get since her topic was going to be on the importance of motherhood? Who can we get to do this? And it immediately came to mind that my lovely wife, the mother of our three children, who is a leader in her own right. She is the head teacher at our school, the Maximum Potential Christian Academy, a Christian, a patriot, a woman who has devoted much of her life to the propagation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and to to this country and propagating freedom in this land. We didn't have a chance to get out a notice for her, obviously, and thought, well, you know, at this late date, rather than doing all that, we'll just announce it tomorrow. So, folks, obviously, while I certainly have a great deal of respect for Tina Deskovich, I have the utmost unparalleled respect for the woman you're about to hear from, because I could not do what I do or have done what I've accomplished without her aid and support. So without any further delay, then, my wife, Mrs. Theodora Jackson. So, my darling, you have the floor.
Well, thank you very much, Bishop. I don't get the floor very often with you around, but I will take it today. This subject, mothering, when I saw the topic for today, the impact of mothering in today's family structure, it really struck a chord with me, because mothers are monumental. Mothers are important. Mothers, without mothers, there would be no we bring life. Mothers support life. Mothers give life. And without us, there would be no society. There would not be humankind. And so we mothers are extremely important to our world. And the problem is that mothers don't understand just how powerful they are and what a great impact, what their impact is on not only their family, their home, their children, but on the world. And we need to get back to that idea, that thought. We need to, our culture needs to begin to maybe reestablish an attitude about mothering. We need to teach our young ladies from the very beginning, when they can begin to understand, we need to teach them who they are and their purpose. I believe that God created us to give life. There's male and female. We need both. But the women, the girls, the females, we are the ones who give life. Our babies are in our womb for 9 months. We feed them. And even in the womb, mothers are comforting and caring for and talking to and loving their babies. And when they are born, it is a magnificent thing, and that relationship continues. And the mother-child relationship, there is nothing like it. It is spectacular. And we do not give enough importance and credence to the relationship between mother and child, and then motherhood and this society. We have heard that girls want to have babies because they want someone to love them. Well, you have to love that baby first. And more importantly than that, you have to love God, because God has created us for this purpose, and we need to know him in a real way in order to do what he has called us to do. So motherhood is just, I don't even know if there is a word to really describe how important mothering is. And I wish I had a better understanding when I became a mother 50 plus years ago, just how important my role is as a mother. And you don't, once your children are out of your home and you send them off to college, you don't stop being a mother. You are always, always a mother. Your child is always important to you. You're always thinking about them and wondering what they're doing, where they are. Your child is always with you. And so that is, mothering is just a tremendous job to have, a tremendous role to have, a tremendous title to have, because there is nothing like a mother who loves a child, who is there for a child, and wants nothing but the best for their child. Now, I know all that that's not always the case. There are women who take on that role as a mother, and they are important as well, particularly if that woman is a woman of God who knows God and knows the importance of the role that she is taking on. Mothers have the power to build up or to tear down. And it looks like, it seems that in our society these days, lots of mothers are tearing down. And that's because, again, they do not understand how important they are to their children and to our society at large. So Christian mothers in particular, we have a tremendous job to do. Bishop, do you know how many mothers or how many females are on the line today?
No, we don't. My guess is it's probably about half and half, but no, we don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, I will stop there. For the men who are, or the fathers who are on the line, you, of course, are important to your family, and as God designed it, we are to work together to raise our children. But the important thing is that we raise our children for Him, that we mark our children for God. And we have to do that through discipleship. Bishop preached a series of messages starting in January on discipleship out of Matthew 28:19. And we are supposed to make disciples in all the world, make disciples. Well, we start in our own home making disciples. Mm-hmm. As mothers, we are our children's first disciples, and they are to learn from us how to love, how to treat others, and how to love God and what their relationship is with God. So the mothering, it is just the most important thing that a woman could do. It has been my pleasure to be the mother of three successful young people. You heard my son last week on the call. And we have two young ladies or two women, and they are successful in their own right, and they are doing great things with their lives. They have never had to come back and live in the basement. They have always been independent. They've gotten their education. They've been independent, and they are in their own lives. They are doing good things. And so I am grateful that God chose me to be the mother to Earl Jr., Rebecca, and Jacqueline. I didn't always do it right. There are some things that I should have done differently. And one thing is I wish I had understood my role as a discipler in their lives and brought the word of God closer to them, used the word of God more, particularly when disciplining them. Didn't always do that, but they've done well. They've turned out well, and we are very proud of them. Now my goal is to help other young mothers understand their job as a mother. It is so very, very important. And as we grow at the Maximum Potential Christian Academy, we will have family life classes, and that will be one of the things that we discuss, the importance of motherhood to our society and a Christian world. We'll give it to them from a Christian world view, and they will understand, the males and females, the boys and the girls will understand just how important the females are around them, that they will be mothers, and if without a mother, we will not have a world, we will not have a society, and we as mothers, we impact the all of society. I would say that a mother is more important than the President of the United States. We have more power than I believe than he does. We don't have to wait for a Congress, a Senate to pass laws, legislation. We have the power to do that in our own home. And without a mother, there would be no President of the United States or in any company that there is. So their motherhood is just extremely important to our society, and particularly Christian mothers. We have to disciple our children and prepare them and mark them for what God has for them to do.
Amen.
So I will stop there.
Okay, well, look, we want to open it up for questions and comments. Press star 6 to get in queue. So let me open up with the first question.
Mm-hmm.
And we face this not so much in our own family, but we certainly face it in ministry. For such a long time now, I say a generation, women have been told that your career is most important.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's been used to justify abortion. It's been used to justify not getting married, not having children, and more women than ever before saying they don't ever want to have children because it gets in the way of their career. Talk a little bit about child rearing, homemaking versus the career path, because I think motherhood, generally speaking, has been denigrated, particularly by the feminist movement.
Exactly, and I'm old-fashioned in that way. There's no greater career than that of mothering, and is from my perspective, that's first and foremost. Your career is to raise your children. When you decide you're going to have a family, get married, have a family, that is where your attention should be. And I have advised our daughters that you get your education, follow your career, do whatever it is you want to do, what you believe God wants you to do. You work, you get your education, you work, and believe God to send you the man that he has for you. You get married, and when you are ready to financially able to live on possibly one income and not work, then you begin to raise your family, because it is that important that you are there with your children 24/7 pretty much, and not have anything else taking your attention away from your children, from your family, and what it is you need to do in your home. And yes, the feminist movement, they have downplayed motherhood, and that is, we need to get to a point, we need to get our society back to a point where motherhood is fundamental, motherhood is respected, and motherhood is understood, and women begin to understand that they are important to the creation of another human being, and that's something that they want to do. That's something that they want to be a part of. So, like I said, we want children, young people, young women to understand how important being a female is, and the role that it plays in the future of our country.
Okay, well, we have a question on the line. Folks, press *6 to get in queue. Let's take the first call.
Oh, good morning, and thank you so much for Moms for Liberty. This is Jose calling from California. And I just wanted to commend you because Moms for Liberty is very strong, and I've seen them take a strong stand amidst a lot of pressure and oppression. So thank you. And my question goes to the very foundation of Moms for Liberty, and that is, sometimes I wonder, where are the men fighting, for our cultural war? And maybe because I'd like your thoughts on, the fact that we're fighting in this sort of information and psychological warfare. And so it's maybe difficult for some men to, get out of a more active or aggressive mode. And, maybe it's a place for moms. Is this because of our situation, because of the nature of the conflict, is this a place that really does call moms? And how do men, okay, how can men support Moms for Liberty?
Well, thank you for the call, Jose. I want to just reiterate to everybody, my wife is standing in for Tina Deskovich, who is the co-founder of Moms for Liberty. But you're familiar with Moms for Liberty, darling, so just go ahead and respond to their work and why you think moms are attracted to Chris. I mean, they literally exploded on the scene, mm-hmm. and they've got chapters all over America mm-hmm. of moms standing mm-hmm. up and protecting their children. So go ahead and speak to that.
Well, that's what a mother does. A mother protects her child, her children. And you're willing to fight for your children, to see to it that they are not taken advantage of, that they are treated fairly. So with this, with what's going on in our culture now, and teachers and school systems not wanting parents to be involved in what's being taught in schools, what's going on in schools, yes, parents and moms are going to step in, and they are going to fight for their children. No question about it. That is one of the hallmarks, I think, of being a mom. You are going to stand up for your children. You are going to fight for your children. And there's a place, of course, fathers and mothers together making a difference in the lives of their children and in our culture.
I think of the fact that George Washington never had formal education. He was educated by his mother. And yet, mm-hmm. I mean, people admire George Washington as a very sophisticated, well-read, well-educated man, but he was educated completely by his mother. It kind of took me back to this thought that mothers really are, because traditionally they've been the ones at home with their children, have been the primary educators of their children. So when the school mm-hmm. steps up and says, we don't care what you think, We don't care what your values are. We don't care what you worship. We're going to tell your children whatever we want to tell them and teach them whatever we want to teach them, whether you like it or not. And in some cases, as you know, they've even said, and we're not going to tell you what we're teaching because none of your business what we're teaching them. And you're not even going to be notified, and you're not going to be given an opportunity to opt out of it. I think that's the kind of thing that probably grabbed mothers first who were sort of watching their children's education maybe more closely, even the dads, but they sprung immediately into action. Would you say mothers do have this vital role of education? Because certainly when our children were growing up, you spent more time around them than I did. I mean, I'm the first to confess that.
Well, yes, I started teaching Earl Jr. how to read when he was little over a year old. And with the other two, I did the same thing. And I often hear from my middle child how I would read stories, read books to them. So we are mothers. Mothers are your children's. We are our children's first teacher,
mm-hmm.
And that is important. And I've always held to that, believe that. But you know, after listening to your messages on discipleship, I think we need to rethink that. Yes, we are. Our children's first teachers, but we need to see ourselves as disciplers and our children as our disciplees, and so that how we speak to them, what we teach them is based on the Word of God, because we need to raise up men and women of God who love the Lord and who understand the importance of being a child of God and how that relates to our culture and how it relates to our country. Our nation was ordained by God, and we cannot have a nation that whose God is the Lord if we don't raise up a generation of boys and girls, yeah. Men and women who understand that and who know him. So we are not only our children's first teachers, we are our children's first disciplers, and our goal is to mark them for Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, look, we're almost out of time, so take the last couple minutes that we've got and talk about, that's a perfect segue into the Maximum Potential Christian Academy, what the mission is there, and then we can tell people how to donate to it as well, because
okay.
Yeah, that people may want to know that.
Yes, well, the mission of the Maximum Potential Christian Academy is what I have just said to you. The mission is to raise up mighty men and women of God who understand who they are as Americans, understand our country and the impact that they can have on our country. We want our country to be a nation whose God is the Lord. And if they're not going to get that in a public school, they're only going to get that in a school such as the Maximum Potential Christian Academy. We are a principal approach school, and we are teaching them the history of our country, that our nation is ordained by God, and we are showing them how that is so in our history. We are showing them not only that the pilgrims came here for religious freedom, but what it took for them to get here and how the Lord worked it out so that they got here and they fulfilled the vision and destiny that they wanted, religious freedom. And so Maximum Potential Christian Academy is a place where your seed will be used to raise up mighty men and women of God who are going to understand our nation, the purpose of our nation, or who are going to be willing to fight for the survival of the United States of America.
And if people want to donate, folks, we don't have a separate account, but you can go to the website, the call website, and you'll have an opportunity to donate to the Maximum Potential Christian Academy. And the same thing is true for the STAND website. We have, you can designate at the STAND website to give to the Maximum Potential Christian Academy, because it is a joint partnership project, a STAND and the Call Church. So if you want to invest in, Tina Deskovich is focused on the government schools, and I'm glad that Moms for Liberty are, because many of our children are in those schools. But we're also focused on, STAND is focused on making sure that parents and children have school choice and can get out of these indoctrination camps and go to a school where they're going to learn truth, be challenged to be academically successful and excellent, but also learn the truth about God, about the founding of this nation, what it means to be men and women of character, of responsible citizenship, and of accomplishment. So you want to invest in that. Go to thecall.org, and you can give to the school there, or you can go to standamerica.us and give to the school there. So, and we would appreciate your support, because we can tell you right now, we don't collect enough tuition to pay for the education that we're giving these children, and so we do have to subsidize it. Our church subsidizes it, we personally subsidize it, and our donors subsidize it. So anything you can do to help would be very much appreciated, and you'll be helping to do something I consider to be critical to the future of this country, which is making sure that we raise up citizens who are not indoctrinated but actually educated and help have their character shaped to be good Christians and good Americans as well. Okay, anything else, darling, that we need to say before we let you go?
No, thank you for having me on today. Don't have the my sphere of influence is not as great as Tina, but I appreciate you thinking of me and having me on to share my thoughts on motherhood.
Well, I want to thank you for stepping in. As far as I'm concerned, your sphere of influence is just as great as Tina Deskovich, because your sphere of influence is my sphere of influence. Our spheres of influence are a little different, but nevertheless, we do have a fairly big sphere of influence, and you are part of that. So thank you, Darla, for taking time. I know you took time away from school to do this, because I know you're there working today. So I appreciate you stepping in at the last minute to do this.
My pleasure. God bless you and your audience and your supporters.
I will tell Tina, we will see Tina at the dinner, and I'll tell her she owes you a debt of thanks for having you know, stepped in at the last minute to cover her.
Looking forward to meeting her.
All right. All right.
Pleasure.
Thank you so much.
God
I appreciate it, darling. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That's my wife, Theodora Jackson, 2 master's degrees, 20 years experience as an educator in government schools, and now I guess 4 years as an educator in our own private Christian school. So I wanted her to step in because I knew she would give an important perspective. She said some things about motherhood that most people don't want to hear today, because she's encouraged our children and anybody she comes in touch with. She says, look, just as soon as you can, stop working and take care of your children. And if that's not easy to do in this day and time, but it can be done when people are really committed to it, because those children definitely need one parent who is an anchor in that home, as opposed to being latchkey kids who show up and both their parents are working, and maybe they see their parents later that day and they give them what's left over after a long day's work. Both parents are basically essentially doing the same thing. And look, I understand it. We did it for much of our career, but we also realized it probably was not the smartest thing to do. It was not the wisest thing to do. So folks, look, let me just say, as we prepare to close out, this is the opening of Stan's Celebrate Traditional Family Marriage and Family Month. If you are not aware of that, you will see more about that on our website as soon as we get through this dinner. Right now, the dinner is the highlight. But we started this, I think, about 3 years ago as an offset to this stupid Pride Month that the homosexual and sexual deviants have come up with to celebrate every vile, depraved thing you can imagine. And so we wanted to celebrate something that we knew would be God-glorifying and God-honoring, and that would encourage people who are trying to raise decent families, because two men can't be married and two women can't be married. That's an abomination to God. It's just not, it's not possible, although you can make it, you can create a legal fiction and make it possible, but it is not possible for two men or two women to marry one another in the sight of God. Therefore, it can never be holy matrimony, or frankly, matrimony of any kind. So instead of just cursing the darkness, we wanted to turn on the light and celebrate families as God ordained them. So we'll be talking about that at the dinner. But please keep that in mind, because I teach a series on family from Mother's Day. I don't teach on Mother's Day. My wife or a woman we bring in tends to do that. But then after that, I focus on parenting and family and all of that for the rest of the month and most of June, to highlight what a family ought to be in God's sight as opposed to what the world is trying to make it, which is just a mess. So keep that in mind. Lastly, I'll simply mention that we are having our Stand Awards dinner. We still have a few complimentary tickets available. If you would like to come, if you live anywhere in the area and you would like to come, all you need to do is email us at awardsdinner@standinc.net. That's awardsdinner, just like it sounds, at standinc, standinc.net. And say, I'd like to claim, and right now we've been offering up to four tickets per family, four complimentary tickets per family. We're down to a lower number. If you need four, we'll try to accommodate you, but you're going to get at least two for a spouse, for two spouses, husband and wife spouse. if you're a chief executive of an organization and you want to bring an assistant or something like that, we can accommodate you for that as well. Needless to say, we're getting close. We're running out, but we still want to accommodate as many people as we can. So if you're interested in complimentary tickets, go there. Or you can call my executive assistant at 757-375-6444, and we will reserve those tickets. The only thing we ask is, if you reserve tickets, please make sure you come, because we're paying for every dinner that people reserve for. Our sponsors are paying for them, and we don't want to waste the food and waste the money. So that's May 16th, 7 p.m., Cornerstone Chapel in Leesburg, Virginia. Go to the website, standamerica.us, for more information on that. You'll be able to get that. I also want to say publicly, I want to thank Jason Whitlock. He is a former ESPN commentator. He is now a Christian commentator. He does a program now for Glenn Beck and on Blaze TV. And I was at his conference this past Saturday, had a chance to speak there. It's called Fearless Men's Call Roll, and it was a tremendous conference. I want to thank them for the honor of being invited to the conference. And the opportunity to speak there. It's a really great event. I don't know whether I'll be going back next year, but I'll tell you, if you've never been, they hold it in Nashville every year. If you've never been, believe me, you will be blessed as a man. You will be blessed and encouraged and edified. It is a men's conference. We need more of those to encourage men So, man, I just encourage you to be a part of that. Find out more about it. I think you can Google Fearless Roll Call or just Google Jason Whitlock, and you'll probably get to it there as well. All right. Well, listen, God bless everybody. We are in the fight to win, and right now there's so many battle fronts that are open, and I don't know which one you are focused on or fighting on right now. As you know, we're going to be focused a lot on family here in the coming years, because we know that the social problems that we're facing in our country are primarily rooted and grounded in the breakdown of the family. You get husbands and wives, mothers and fathers together in matrimony, raising their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and teaching them what it means to be decent people, decent citizens. And you have a very different culture than what you have when you have a bunch of guys out there who are being influenced by pop culture and gangster rap and drill and entertainers and who knows what else, with every abominable thought you can think of. And told that somehow this is normal, this is good, this is right. Yeah, adapt this way of thinking and this way of behaving, and it's nothing but the path of self-destruction. So you rebuild the family, and you just do away with a lot of that right off the bat. I mean, you realize only a small percentage of the people in prison were raised in two-parent families, a small percentage. Two-parent family, children from two-parent families don't usually go to prison and don't usually live in poverty. And they get married, they raise families, and their families don't live in poverty. So poverty, crime, drug addiction, suicide, you name it, all of these social problems trace back to the breakdown of the family. So we're going to be fighting really hard on that front. That's not going to be the only front, but that's going to be a major push for us in the coming years. So stand by to learn more about the Family Restoration Institute, which we will also highlight at the dinner. So I hope you can come, no charge to you. Now, let me just say before I go, if you want to give and you want to donate, I don't want to deny you that opportunity, and many do. We've invited people to come as our guests, and they say, yeah, that's really great, but you know what? I want to pay for my ticket. I want to support your work. And you may think the same thing, or maybe you can't come, but you just want to donate. Feel free to do that. Believe me, we will appreciate it. Grateful to you for all the support, for any support you can give. So listen, God bless everybody. You all know what you need to do, whether you're fighting the pro-life battle or you're fighting the anti-crime battle or the anti-illegal immigration battle, or you're fighting to rebuild the family, or you're fighting to revamp education so that it actually gives children a decent academic education rather than this indoctrination nonsense. No matter what front you're fighting on, stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.